This program is intended for an audience that is blind and print impaired, and it will be available in podcast after the initial broadcast. This is Kirk Benrood with the North Carolina Reading Service, and I want to welcome you to Movie and Theater Previews, your source of information about upcoming productions on the stage and on the screen that are available with audio description. Okay, let's see what we have in the way of plays. The first one coming up is over in Durham. It's on Saturday, May 24th. It's Back to the Future, the musical. It plays at 2 p.m. at the Durham Performing Arts Center, also known as DPAC, which is at 123 Vivian Street. Broadway's most electrifying new musical, winner of the 2022 Olivier Award for Best New Musical, 4 What's on Stage Awards, including Best New Musical, and the Broadway World Award for the Best New Musical. Back to the Future, the musical, is adapted for the stage from the iconic film's creators, Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis, and directed by the Tony Award winner, John Rodau, with original music by multi-Grammy winners Alan Silvestri and Glenn Ballard. Alongside hit songs from the movie, including The Power of Love, Johnny B. Good, Earth Angel, and Back in Time. When Marty McFly finds himself transported back to 1955 in a time machine built by the eccentric scientist Doc Brown, he accidentally changes the course of history. Now he's in a race against time to fix the present, escape the past, and send himself back to the future. When Back to the Future hits 88 miles per hour, it'll change musical theater history forever. Tickets start at $56, and the number to call over to DPAC is 919-680-2787. Again, that's 919-680-2787. And now let's move back over to Raleigh. We have on Sunday, June 8th, the Raleigh Ringers Spring Concert. It's at 4 p.m. at Fletcher Opera Theater, which is at 2 East South Street in Raleigh. Adults are $26, seniors are $22, and students are $14. And then on Thursday, June 12th, The Color Purple plays at 8 p.m. at Raleigh Little Theater. It's in the Canty V. Sutton Theater, and it is general admission. And Raleigh Little Theater is at 301 Pogue Street. This musical adaptation of Alice Walker's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel and the popular 1985 Steven Spielberg film highlights Sally, a downtrodden young woman whose personal awakening over the course of 40 years forms the arc of this epic story, with a joyous score featuring jazz, ragtime, gospel, African music, and blues. The Color Purple is a story of hope, a testament to the healing power of love, and a celebration of life. Now, this is based on the novel written by Alice Walker and the Warner Brothers / Amblin Entertainment motion picture. The book is by Marcia Norman, music and lyrics by Brenda Russell, Allie Willis, and Stephen Bray. This production will be directed by Tia James. Adult tickets are $31, students are $27, and don't forget, Raleigh Little Theater always offers you a free ticket for your driver, so make sure that you specify that you will be using the audio description service and that you would like a ticket for your driver. Their phone number is 919-821-3111. Again, that's 919-821-3111. And now we'll look at movies. First, a quick list of them. There is a Minecraft movie, Clown in a Cornfield, Fight or Flight, Juliet and Romeo, Queen of the Ring, Rosario, Shadow Force, Sinners, Snow White, The Accountant 2, The Amateur, The King of Kings, A Story Told by Charles Dickens, The Surfer, Thunderbolts, Until Dawn, and Wartime. Okay, let's move in and take a look at these movies. I'm going to start with the ones that are brand new this week. The first one is called Clown in a Cornfield. It runs an hour and 36 minutes. It's rated R for bloody horror violence, language throughout, and teen drinking. And this is a horror film. Quinn Maybrook and her father have moved to tiny, boring Kettle Springs to find a fresh start. But what they don't know is that ever since the Baypen corn syrup factory shut down, Kettle Springs has cracked in half. On one side are the adults who are desperate to make Kettle Springs great again. On the other side are the kids who want to have fun, make prank videos, and get out as quick as they can. Kettle Springs is caught in a battle between old and new, tradition and progress. It's a fight that looks like it will destroy the town. Until Frendo, the Baypen mascot, a creepy clown, goes homicidal and decides that the only way for Kettle Springs to grow back is to cull the rotten crop of kids who live there now. This is based on the novel Clown in a Cornfield by Adam Cesar. Fight or Flight runs an hour and 41 minutes. It's rated R for strong, bloody violence, language throughout, and some drug material. And this is an action-adventure film. A mercenary takes on the job of tracking down a target on a plane, but must protect her when they're surrounded by people trying to kill both of them. Juliet and Romeo runs 2 hours and 2 minutes. It's rated PG for some violence, bloody images, and suggestive material. This is a drama, musical, romance. Set in 1301, at the end of medieval times, Verona's Romeo and Juliet finds our most famous star-crossed lovers turning the tides on the history Shakespeare based his own story on, as they reveal the truth to the very future of the empire. But the biggest twist in this most beloved of tales is leaving the poetry of iambic pentameter in the past for the original pop music that rockets these ever-present themes right to the heart of our characters in the most surprising and perhaps most powerful way that has ever been seen or heard before. The greatest love story of all time, set to the greatest music of our time. Queen of the Ring runs 2 hours and 13 minutes. It's rated PG for violence, including domestic violence, strong language, suggestive material, and smoking. This is a biography, drama, sport movie. In a time when pro wrestling for women was illegal all over the United States, a small-town single mother embraces the danger as she dominates America's most masculine sport and becomes the first million-dollar female athlete in history. And the film is based on Mildred Burke, an American professional wrestler. Shadow Force runs an hour and 44 minutes. It's rated R for violence and language throughout. It's an action, drama, thriller. An estranged couple with a bounty on their heads must go on the run with their son to avoid their former employer, a unit of shadow ops that has been sent to kill them. And the movie was inspired by Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the 2005 film which Kerry Washington was in. And now films that are not brand new this week. We've got a Minecraft movie. Runs 1 hour and 41 minutes. It's rated PG for mild violence, action, language, suggestive slash rude humor, and some scary images. And this is an action-adventure comedy family fantasy. Four Misfits find themselves struggling with ordinary problems when they are suddenly pulled through a mysterious portal into the overworld, a bizarre cubic wonderland that thrives on imagination. To get back home, they'll have to master this world while embarking on a magical quest with an unexpected expert craftier. Together, their adventure will challenge all five to be bold and to reconnect with the qualities that make each of them uniquely creative, the very skills they need to thrive back in the real world. Rosario runs an hour and 28 minutes. It's rated R for bloody violent content and some language. It's a horror film. Rosario spends the night with her grandmother's body while she waits for the ambulance to arrive during a severe snowfall. Rosario is attacked by otherworldly entities that have taken control of her grandmother's body. Sinners runs 2 hours and 17 minutes. It's rated R for strong, bloody violence, sexual content, and language. It's a action, drama, horror, thriller. From Ryan Coogler, director of Black Panther and Creed and starring Michael B. Jordan, comes a new vision of fear. Sinners, trying to leave their troubled lives behind, twin brothers, return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. Snow White runs an hour and 49 minutes. It's rated PG for mild violence, some peril, thematic elements, and brief, rude humor. And this is an adventure, family, fantasy, musical romance. A princess joins force with seven dwarfs to liberate her kingdom from her cruel stepmother, the evil queen. This is a live-action adaptation of the 1937 Disney animated film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. The Accountant 2 runs 2 hours and 4 minutes. It's rated R for strong language and strong violence throughout. It's an action, crime, drama, mystery, thriller. When her former boss is killed by unknown assassins, Treasury agent Mary Beth Medina is forced to contact Christian Wolfe to solve the murder. With the help of his estranged but highly lethal brother Brax, Chris applies his brilliant mind and less-than-legal methods to piece together the unsolved puzzle. As they get closer to the truth, the trio draw the attention of some of the most ruthless killers alive, all intent on putting a stop to their search. This sequel was made and first released about 9 years after the film The Accountant, which came out in 2016. The Amateur runs 2 hours and 3 minutes. It's rated PG-13 for some strong violence and language. This is an action thriller. When his supervisors at the CIA refuse to take action after his wife is killed in a London terrorist attack, a decoder takes matters into his own hands. The film's source novelist is Robert Littell, who has been a journalist and novelist who specializes in espionage novels and that are frequently set around the spy world of the CIA and the former Soviet Union. He wrote the screenplay for the original movie of The Amateur, then wrote the novel of the same name afterwards. The book was a slightly different title, it being The Amateur, a novel of revenge. The original Amateur movie was his first film and TV credit. The King of Kings, a story told by Charles Dickens, runs an hour and 40 minutes. It's rated PG for thematic material, violent content, and some scary moments. This is an animation family film. A father tells his son the greatest story ever told, and what begins as a bedtime tale becomes a life-changing journey. Through vivid imagination, the boy walks alongside Jesus, witnessing his miracles, facing his trials, and understanding his ultimate sacrifice. The King of Kings invites us to rediscover the enduring power of hope, love, and redemption through the eyes of a child. The Surfer runs an hour and 43 minutes. It's rated R for language, suicide, some violence, drug content, and sexual material. This is a thriller. A man returns to the idyllic beach of his childhood to surf with his son. When he is humiliated by a group of locals, the man is drawn into a conflict that keeps rising and pushes him to his breaking point. A bit of trivia here. This received a 6-minute standing ovation at the 77th Cannes Film Festival. At the screening of Glasgow Film Festival 25, director Lorcan Finnegan said that the snake featured in the film bit Nicolas Cage on the hand for real. Thunderbolts runs 2 hours and 6 minutes. It's rated PG for strong language and violence, thematic elements, and some suggestive and drug references. This is an action, adventure, crime, fantasy, sci-fi flick. After finding themselves ensnared in a death trap, an unconventional team of anti-heroes must embark on a dangerous mission that will force them to confront the darkest corners of their pasts. A bit of trivia here. In real life, Florence Pugh actually jumped off the Merdeka 118 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, which is the second tallest building in the world at 2,227 feet, with no CGI or stunt double. Until Dawn runs an hour and 43 minutes. It's rated R for strong bloody horror violence, gore, and language throughout. This is a drama horror movie. 1 year after her sister Melanie mysteriously disappeared, Clover and her friends head into the remote valley where she vanished in search of answers. Exploring an abandoned visitor center, they find themselves stalked by a masked killer and horrifically murdered one by one, only to wake up and find themselves back at the beginning of the same evening. Trapped in the valley, they're forced to relive the night again and again, only each time the killer threat is different, each more terrifying than the last. Hope dwindling, the group soon realizes they have a limited number of deaths left, and the only way to escape is to survive until dawn. And a bit of trivia, the film features an original story set in the universe of the video game Until Dawn, and it's not being a direct adaptation of it. And finally, we have Warfare, which runs an hour and 35 minutes. It's rated R for intense war violence and bloody, grisly images and language throughout. It's an action-drama war movie. It embeds audiences with a platoon of American Navy SEALs on a surveillance mission gone wrong in insurgent territory. A boots-on-the-ground story of modern warfare and brotherhood told in real time and based on the memory of the people who lived it. Okay, let's check out a review of Fight or Flight. This is a review by James Berardinelli, who writes, "I can hear the pitch now. It's like Bullet Train, only on a plane." And there you have it, a low-rent version of the 2022 David Leitch thriller, except instead of speeding across Japan, this time things are happening in the not-so-friendly skies. Director James Madigan, a visual effects expert making his debut behind the camera, wrings some tension out of the inherent limitations of the setting, but runs into the usual problems encountered by filmmakers who confine their stories to the inside of a jet cruising at 40,000 feet. The list of movies that overcome these is short, So it comes as no surprise that fight or flight never quite ascends to the bonkers-level entertainment provided by its grounded inspiration. The movie makes the rookie mistake of starting at the end and then telling a majority of the story in flashback. Why? It makes for a good hook, but there's no real point to the non-chronological approach. And it has the unfortunate side effect of keeping us waiting for 70 minutes to again see the chainsaw-wielding character. The image is so indelible that it hangs over the film, encouraging impatience with the narrative. We sit there thinking, okay, let's move along and get back to the woman with the chainsaw. When a movie opts for a non-linear approach, there needs to be a reason. Fight or Flight has none. What it does have is Josh Hartnett, who seems to be enjoying himself immensely. Playing Lucas Reyes, an ex-Secret Service agent on the lam, Hartnett uses his easygoing charm to good effect, not unlike Brad Pitt in Bullet Train. Lucas finds himself on board a San Francisco-bound international flight at the behest of despised former colleague Catherine Brunt, who promises him a clean slate if he can apprehend the elusive hacker, Ghost. They're on that flight, but no one knows what they look like, so it's up to Lucas to identify Ghost. But of course there's a complication. Ghost's itinerary has been leaked, so the passenger list is chock full of killers looking to cash in on the bounty. There's some good action scenes, including several martial arts-influenced conflicts that end with broken bones and exposed viscera. The gore level overall is pretty high, but what else would one expect when someone brings a chainsaw to a knife fight? The narrative is on the lower end of the dumb to moronic scale, but this isn't a plot-driven movie. All it has to do is get the protagonist into a plane where someone reclining their seat too far is likely to result in a bloodbath. To that end, Madigan limits downtime and, mercifully, exposition. In a production like this, there's a need of some sort of human interplay, and that comes in the form of the sometimes serious, sometimes playful interaction between Lucas and the only competent flight attendant on board, Isha. Aside from a couple of other flight attendants whose primary purposes are for occasional comic relief, no one else gets much screen time. On Terra Firma, Catherine and her asshole minion Aaron Hunter keep us wondering about their intentions, but they're a sideshow. One thing missing from Fight or Flight is the kind of Tarantino-inspired banter that elevated Bullet Train. In fact, the production is only fitfully successful in transcending the boundaries of a generic action film. There are a few standout moments, a battle royale choreographed to Strauss' The Blue Danube Waltz, and a psychedelic perspective of an intense sequence. But there are also a few too many scenes when the movie goes on autopilot, as if it's reluctant to get batshit crazy. That, of course, is silly, because a premise like this calls for a high degree of insanity. But Josh Hartnett makes a great focal point, and Charithra Chandran is a plucky sidekick, and the chainsaw steals the show, even though Leatherface is nowhere to be found. Mr. Berardinelli, by the way, gives Fight or Flight 2.5 out of a possible 4 stars. And another 2.5-star movie is Snow White, and this film is also reviewed by James Berardinelli. He starts off by saying, "Someday my prince will come." So sang Adriana Calati in the Depression-era classic Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the film that proved Walt Disney was more than Mickey Mouse. Some 90 years later, amidst a wave of cash grabs that have seen far too many of the Magic Kingdom's animated treasures exploited via live-action recreations, someone decided it was Snow White's turn. But because mores have changed, which is to be expected considering the span of time, the film's signature tune, ranked 19 on the all-time movie song list, had to be jettisoned because the writers of the new movie couldn't figure out a way to include it without demeaning their newly minted version of the title character. That exemplifies the problem faced by the filmmakers. The 1937 production casts too long a shadow to escape from with a radically changed approach, and much of what played well to our grandparents and great-grandparents simply won't work in the 2020s. The obvious answer would have been not to remake Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Let it continue to exist in that animated fantasy bubble. Truth be told, outside of the technical achievement of being the first feature-length animated film, it's not a great movie, at least for adults. But Disney has become too greedy to leave any stone unturned, even when it involves tarnishing one of its most beloved jewels. So despite growing headwinds against these cartoon to live-action remakes, Snow White entered the process. Well, all that is past prologue, and woulda, coulda, shoulda doesn't mean much. The movie exists, and the best I can say about it is it's fitfully entertaining, but feels as plastic and artificial as most of the other animated Disney remakes. No better, no worse. The biggest standout among this new wave of titles, Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella, worked because the director opted for a true reimagination with no songs, something none of the other high-profile regurgitations have attempted. When Beauty and the Beast made a ton of money, the die was cast, and it's still rolling. Many of Snow White's story beats are familiar. Princess Snow White escapes from the clutches of her evil stepmother and flees into a magical forest. She is pursued by the queen's huntsman, who has been tasked with killing her and bringing back her heart in a jewelry box. But the huntsman spares her life, and she soon finds sanctuary at the cottage of the seven CGI dwarfs, Doc, Grumpy, Dopey, Bashful, Happy, Sneezy, and Sleepy. And all of the movies mentioned in this broadcast are available at theaters run by Cinemark, Regal, or AMC. For Cinemark, you can get their schedule by going to cinemark.com/movies. That's CINEMARK.com. For Regal, go to regmovies.com. And for AMC, it's AMC.com. And that's it for this episode of Movie and Theater Previews. Hopefully this information will be useful. Remember, the program will be in podcast after the broadcast, so you can double-check anything you like. I'm Kurt Benrood for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long, until next time.